News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the overly broad range of our WVNN AM FM capabilities, just know that no matter where you go, all you got to do is get on any device, your phone, your iPad, your computer, whatever. Just click on Listen Live on our rightsideradio.org website. That's rightsideradio.org. And bam, no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we have folks in multiple states and all over this state that listen to the show that are way outside of AM/FM, but they listen to it online, and we appreciate it. It's a broad audience, and it's an honor to be a part of this whole thing. Hey, listen, by the way, got a new advertiser. I want to tell you real quickly, a new team member for us is Alabama Pecan Company. So here's the deal. I mean, it may be time for you to think about gifts. It may be time for you to think about client gifts. Like to say, it's better to give than to receive, right? But finding that perfect gift for your clients can always be a challenge. So what you can do is send your customers a little piece of home. You know, the Alabama Pecan Company, they can do that. Just choose from ready-to-ship gift items that they have on their website or create custom gift boxes to suit your business and your clients. So if you're ready to take the guesswork out of this holiday season, just go to their website. It's Alabama Pecan Co. That's C-O. AlabamaPecanCo.com and let them handle getting those client gifts and all under the tree. And by the way, they have a very cool cafe and mercantile. So if you're ever headed down to Panama City Beach on Highway 87, they're right there in Sampson, Alabama, and it's a cool place to stop by. Listen, check it out. Alabama Pecan Company at AlabamaPecanCo.com. All right, so listen, I got some breaking news. This is big doings. So breaking news right now, OSHA has temporarily suspended the implementation of its vaccine mandate policies. You remember that OSHA issued what they call an ETS, an emergency temporary standard. All right. There's multiple, by the way, keep in mind, there's multiple vaccine mandates. This may or may not apply to your situation. If you're a federal contractor or a federal employee, this does not necessarily apply to you. If you are a medical personnel in a facility that uses Medicaid, Medicare, that's a separate mandate. This would maybe not apply to you. However, 84 million Americans right now are expected to be, you know, affected by the OSHA mandate. That's the one that says if you're a private company and you have 100 or more employees, that you have to implement vaccine mandates at work or go into testing. Well, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has already enjoined that in the Fifth Circuit. In other words, they put a stop to it temporarily, and they upheld that stop throughout the pendency of their litigation. So on November 12th, that happened. Well, it appears that overnight, OSHA decided they're reading the tea leaves, and OSHA has decided that the status of their emergency temporary standard is going to be put on suspension until such time as things resolve. So what does this mean? What it means is the future of the ETS remains pretty uncertain if you get down to it. There's litigation in multiple forums around the nation. All right, this is huge. So OSHA has suspended further implementation of its 100 personnel private company vaccine mandate. That's big doings. One step further, more breaking news. The other thing that has happened, and I'm reading this off of National Law Review. Thank you to Caitlin for sending this to me. So breaking news is this. All of the cases around the nation in the various different circuits, ours, by the way, Alabama is in the 11th Circuit. All of the circuits, when they have multiple claims on the same issue, then they set up a panel, and the panel is basically it's a panel on, what do they call this? The panel on consolidation of similar issues. I've forgotten what the title is, but that's basically what they do. They set up a judicial panel. The panel reviews it. And they do what they call a lottery. Basically, they draw out of a hat, I guess. I don't know. But they choose which of the circuits will hear all the cases. They're going to consolidate all of them. And as of just about an hour or so ago, they've decided the Sixth Circuit is the one that's going to hear the consolidated actions against OSHA. So right now, OSHA has put their own policy on hold. The vaccine mandate has taken a major lick in the courts, and OSHA, reading the tea leaves, decided to suspend it, and all of the lawsuits on the OSHA mandate are being consolidated into one and put into the Sixth Circuit. And one more thing, breaking news. I think I told you about 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a plan, something I'd never heard was possible, that the U.S. Senate could move to try and override the Biden executive order. Well, they're doing it today. All 50 Senate Republicans today were expected to formally challenge the Biden administration's vaccine rule for private businesses. So not only is OSHA taking a hit in the courts, OSHA having to suspend its own, you know, rulings, now OSHA may take a hit, and so would Biden, if the Senate can get up enough oomph to pass this thing and rescind that executive order. That's a lot of doings right there, folks. That's a whole segment by itself. All right, Phil Williams, Lightside Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I enjoy having that breaking news, I mean, especially when it's breaking news that I like, but I enjoy the fact that we are able to see things live and get them to you as they're happening, and that was certainly like that was two handfuls right there with regards to the OSHA version of the mandates, the vaccine mandates. Being put on suspension, being fought by the U.S. Senate Republicans, and also being consolidated into all into one case where it'll be heard in the Sixth Circuit federal courts. So that's big doings right there. Well, listen, other big doings right now is this whole thing with the Kyle Rittenhouse trial up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I want to remind you, frame this in your mind, all right? And just think back to what last summer was like. How many times do we sit and watch the news and sit there with just slack jaw amazement as liberal politicians would refuse to do anything about things like, you know, burning down buildings and looting stores and attacking people on the streets and attacking night after night after night in Portland? They attacked the federal courthouse. I mean, where was the leadership in all of that? Well, what's happening there is there was an absolute attempt to just go ahead and normalize that as part of life. Remember the whole thing? Largely peaceful protests. Come on. It is not. Well, so I've got a series of things I want to go through here. I call this whole section witness intimidation, but it's not all about like trial witnesses. What I'm talking about is it seems like there's an overt attempt right now, especially among progressives, to try and hush you up, change the narrative, shame you into silence, intimidate you so that you will not do the things that you know are right or that you will not stand up for your rights. Well, so Jesse Waters on The Five yesterday, off Fox News, Jesse Waters says basically the left is trying to condition the country to bow to the mob. And I agree with this completely. This is what he said. He said, this is what the left did. They falsely label something racist, like in this case, the Jacob Blake shooting. And then that justifies their riots because a riot against racism has to be righteous, right? That justifies all their ransacking, looting, and burning. And you can get away of it, you can get in the way, and you can't get in the way of a righteous riot, right? That makes you racist. And then he says, Kyle Rittenhouse got in the way of the left's plan because he should have just taken his beating. Instead, he used self-defense. And that's where we are right now. They want you to believe that because they say so, because they'll threaten you, because they'll take your picture and dox you, because they will burn down your city, that in some way you should never be allowed to have a say. In some way you should never be allowed to be the person that you know you are. That's why I did my whole monologue today on the fact that only you define you. And I think it's important that we keep that in mind. So moving through this, intimidating a witness, first of all, true intimidation of a witness, there's state and federal criminal penalties for that, all right? In Alabama, as an attorney, I can tell you, I just looked it up. In Alabama, it's section 13A-10-123. A person commits the crime of intimidating a witness if he attempts by use of a threat directed to a witness or a person he believes will be called as a witness in any official proceedings to corruptly influence, induce that person to avoid legal process, and do, anyway, all the saying is, including coercion, it's a Class C felony to intimidate a witness. But that's state law. How about federal? 18 U.S. Code Section 1512, tampering with a witness, a victim, or an informant. And if you are doing so, you are doing so under federal law. That is a, where is it? Because it's multiple pages long. That one is also a felony, I believe. Yes, indeedy. So, folks, what I'm saying here is, in the law, we care. In the law, we care. If someone is doing all that they can to try and hush you up, to make you speak that which is not true, to cause you to change your behavior through coercion, or to deny who you are. And we can't let it happen. As Jesse Waters said, we cannot let the mob become that thing that we bow to. Because when we do, don't think for a second the mob won't stop coming. When they threaten you and you do what they want, they'll threaten you more the next day. And then they'll move down the street and they'll threaten your neighbors. And I'm just telling you, folks, we cannot allow ourselves to bow to the mob. I mean, but it's happening everywhere. So here's a story that just frustrates the stew out of me. Did you see this news story that broke overnight? Now, this is, I'm reading this one on townhall.com. And copper, I didn't put it on the board, but let's see. I need clip number, which one is it? I need clip number two ready, please. If you would go ahead and get clip number two. Thank you very much. All right, so here's the deal. Remember that whole thing a few weeks ago with the National School Board Association? And they were scared. They were scared because parents were saying mean things at school board meetings. So the National School Board Association, we find out after the fact because they denied it at first, but the Biden administration did. Turns out they were collaboratively meeting with the representatives of the Biden administration for weeks. And then were basically asked to go ahead and put it in a letter form to us. So they did. And they labeled these parents who dare to come and speak out about their children's education and the fact that they don't want critical race theory or anything else like that injected into their child's education. They don't want transgender bathrooms in their child's schools. They want to know the curriculum is reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they want things better for their kids. How dare they speak out like that? Well, the letter labeled them domestic terrorists to the Biden administration, after which Merrick Garland, the Department of Justice, began initiating actions to investigate and track. Well, then Merrick Garland came, and he had to testify before Congress. And he testified that he has no knowledge of any time why we would ever track parents, except that what we're finding out now, in the last 24 hours, that a whistleblower supplied emails that showed that the day before Merrick Garland testified, that a new, quote, threat tag was being used by the FBI to begin tracking parents. Literally, the email, wow. The email was very clear. It says there's a new threat tag. The threat tag is coded EduOfficials. That's what it's called. It should be used to, quote, track investigations and assessments. One of the requests accompanying the guidance on the threat tag was, quote, when evaluating potential threats, agents are to attempt to identify the following, one of which is, what's the motivation behind the criminal activity? So Jim Jordan's up in arms, Representative Jim Jordan, and I am with him. Because you talk about witness intimidation, this is intimidating people into an inoperable status, if you will, to get them to stop doing that which they have a right to do. Copper, go ahead and let's listen to Jim Jordan talk about it real quick, I think with Laura Ingram. Go ahead and play clip two.
Well, he either lied to us or he doesn't know. Either one is bad for the country, bad for justice in America. Understand this, Laura, as we speak, at this moment, the FBI is, not maybe, is treating parents as terrorist threats. And the Attorney General came in front of the committee and said just the opposite. And you just played the clip. He says, I cannot imagine any circumstance where we treat parents or we give them the label of domestic terrorists. But in fact, the day before, as you pointed out, the day before, an email gets sent out to agents across this country saying just the opposite. Say, spy on parents, give them this threat tag, categorize, label parents. When I first read this memo, I thought, this is no different than what the IRS did just a few years ago when they had the, remember the BOLO list? Be on the lookout for these kind of organizations using these kind of words. And they had a list of American citizens just like the FBI is doing now. So he either didn't know, which is terrible, or he misled the committee when he came in front of us, and we need to have him back, plain and
there you go. They do need to have him back, because now that they have a document that shows that they were, in fact, doing what he testified, I'm sitting here looking at his quote. He says, quote, Attorney General Merrick Garland, I can't imagine any circumstance in which the Patriot Act would be used in the circumstances of parents complaining about their children, nor can I imagine a circumstance they'd be labeled as domestic terrorism. And yet here we are looking at it. It's a threat tag to be used by the FBI's, where'd it go? I just saw the name of the department. The FBI Counterterrorism and Criminal Divisions. Created by the Counterterrorism and Criminal Divisions, a threat tag used to identify parents speaking at school board meetings. Well, I have a question for you. Another story on Fox News. Why is it that that's the case? But to our knowledge, things like what happened in Fort Worth, Texas last week go untouched. Did you see the news report about a man who came to a Fort Worth, Texas school board? The Fort Worth, what's the name of the, oh gosh. Anyway, I can't, whatever school board it is in Fort Worth. The bottom line was the parents were there protesting critical race theory tenets being taught in their schools. And then a man came, a black man, and he got up there and he was mad that they would ever speak against critical race theory. He said in front of everybody on the microphone being recorded, he said, I got 1,000 soldiers ready to go, locked and loaded. And if, you know, listen, how many of y'all been in the military? We all know what locked and loaded means. Now, have I used it in other contexts? Sure I have. I mean, you know, it's not uncommon for me to get ready for the show and to tell somebody I'm locked, cocked, and ready to rock, you know? Lock and load, you know, when you're saying things like, all right, we're going to lean forward in the foxhole, and you're not in the actual foxhole, it's a euphemism. When you're standing there in front of a group of people and you're yelling at them and you tell them, I got 1,000 soldiers ready to go, locked and loaded, that's a whole different thing. So one Texas grandmother, she said, well, by God, and she went ahead and reported them to the FBI. In her words, if they're going to be investigating us for daring to speak out, how about they investigate him for literally making what appears to be an actual threat? I agree. Totally. Well, listen, some of this stuff is happening, though, right outside the courthouse in Kenosha, Washington. So at the top of the hour, we got Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, is going to call in. We're going to talk about the trial itself. But I want to talk about after this break, and Copper, go ahead and move us towards the break. But I want to talk about after this break, about things that are happening outside the courthouse that are designed for no other purpose except to call for more violence and to hopefully intimidate the jurors who are right now deliberating the future of Kyle Rittenhouse. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. I love saying that. That's our mantra, but that's what we strive to be at all times, too. Hey, so, by the way, if you've not heard the ads, yeah, you should have because they play all the time. Otter Creek Farm. Otter Creek Farm is not only a place that we advertise on this show, one of our team members, but literally it's a place that Charlene and I go out to all the time. I've been out there multiple times, even recently for a wedding. Otter Creek Farm is a wing shooting destination. If you like to hunt pheasant and quail, they are in full mode right now. They got the guides, the guns, the dogs. They got hundreds of manicured acres. They've got amazing facilities. But then it's also such a beautiful place that it became a wedding destination, and it's a place where you can take corporate retreats. They've got a culinary staff there that will cook for you like you would not believe. I'm just telling you. Check out their website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com, OtterCreekFarmstead.com, and you'll find out real quickly why they were featured in Garden and Gun magazine, why they literally have leaders from around the world that fly in there for meetings. I'm telling you, it's right here in North Alabama. Check them out, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. All right, listen, let's wrap up this segment right here. So I got some clips. There's no way I could possibly get to all this. But one of the things that bugs me, Copper, we're going to do clip four first, I guess. But one of the things that bugs me is that you look at what's happening outside the courthouse. There are groups that are literally being said to be waiting for the buses that bring the jurors in and out and taking pictures of them and tracking down their identities for the sole purpose, allegedly, of trying to dox them. You know, doxing is where you go out there and you make everybody miserable for daring to do something you didn't like. They try to go to your business. They track down your house. They'll protest in your front yard. And doxing is something that is truly it's unconscionable. But they're doing this with the whole purpose of trying to intimidate these jurors in the Rittenhouse trial who are currently in deliberations right now. Now, there were rumors going out. Jack Posobiec was tweeting that he had heard that there was at least one or two jurors who were holding things up because they were concerned about backlash. I don't know how that could be, because I'm reading an article right now from Red State, and I agree with the article that it's very difficult for someone to get in there to hear what jurors are saying. The only person who could do that was the bailiff, and the bailiff is considered law enforcement himself, and it's very unlikely that the bailiff is hearing something like this and then letting it be known to the media. All that to say, we do know, though, that outside the courthouse, that's exactly what was happening. Well, that being said, Kenosha, Wisconsin, I went to their news. I went to Kenosha News. I got to thinking, let's see what locals were saying. Well, the locals are showing right now that it's a little dicey. They've got hundreds of National Guardsmen standing by, and they got protesters, both for and against the possibilities of acquittal. They got Black Lives Matter that is literally out there right now with signs that say things like no justice, no peace. And then they've got others who are out there with signs that say Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. I mean, it's on both sides. And then you've had folks showing up like the McCluskeys. They were the ones who were indicted for daring to menace someone with a weapon in their own front yard when gangs broke down the gate to their neighborhood and began walking through their property. Okay, this is all happening outside. And they've even got the Black Lives Matter protesters have a life-size, cardboard cutout of Kyle Rittenhouse's image, and they're calling him a bigot, and they've got a selfie station with that cardboard cutout where you can have your picture made, you know, doing all the things you want to do in front of that cutout. I'm just telling you it's where it is. But what I'm hoping is, and what I believe is going to happen, is the jury is going to make a good decision. Copper, this is David Webb, who is talking on Fox about that very thing. Hit clip four for us.
Outcome. Well, look, it's an attempt to do this. And, excuse me, I saw this in Ferguson. I was there the night the verdict came down outside the police station and the firehouse. And throughout the trial, they did the same thing in St. Louis. They tried to turn the jury. Good jurors won't go for this. Yeah. Good jurors have the law. They see that counts have been thrown out. They've seen a prosecution that's gone completely wrong for the prosecution. And they've seen a fair judge who's been tough on both sides to present the case as it is. Could there be a juror that swayed? Yes. But my question to everyone watching is, why would a juror be swayed when the facts are in front of them? You can't dispute that he was 17 when they attempted to charge him as an older adult. You can't dispute the counts that were thrown out. You can't dispute the fakery and the lies about Rosenbaum and the others involved in the attack and the lies that were told about whether he pointed the gun first or whether it was self-defense.
Yeah.
And there you go. And I agree with David Webb. I'm going to trust the jury. And I'm going to pray that that's exactly what happens. But it does not negate the fact that it is wrong for these folks to be on the courthouse steps protesting what has not even happened. Literally trying to take pictures of jurors for the sole purpose of intimidating them. But it goes to everywhere else in life. We should not be seeing our own government putting threat tags with the FBI through their counterterrorism division regarding parents who speak out at school board meetings. And if they're going to do that, then why would they not also investigate people who show up and say things like they've got 1,000 soldiers ready who are locked and loaded and start yelling at everybody while they're there saying it? If that's not a real threat, I don't know what is. All this to say, I agree with the original article that I quoted off Fox News, Jesse Waters. We should not ever find ourselves bowing to the mob. It's like I said earlier in the show, only you get to define you. Do not let the mob have their sway. Phil Williams, we'll be right back with Jay Towne, former U.S. Attorney.